Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport.
Hello, lockdown lovers. This is the Game Day podcast from TalkSport, looking at the big, important stories from the world of football and providing you a little bit of light relief from the pressure washing, the DIY, the homeschooling, or baking a focaccia. Ah, culinary skills coming in handy in the Northeast at the moment as Mike Ashley reduces his asking price to a tastier level so that Amanda Stavely bites off his hand. But is this cake still at the mixing stage, or is it almost baked? Elsewhere, English football plans for a June return, but in Scotland there was nothing snappy about the decision to end the season. The Crocodiles of Dundee took 6 days longer than everyone else to make up their mind. Struth! Coming up, former England and Spurs centre-back and current Nottingham Forest captain Michael Dawson on the teammate headed to the Premier League and his new DIY skill. Manchester City and England forward Ellen White gives her favourite TV shows away. Nigel Adley dons an apron in commentary confinement. And Portsmouth defender Christian Burgess delivers medicines to the vulnerable. All on the absolutely delighted to be here Game Day podcast from TalkSport.
This is Game Day.
Yeah, and I have to say, thank you so much for listening and downloading and sharing this podcast at a time where, let's be honest about it, Crook and I, who are busy bees and have to keep ourselves occupied at all times otherwise, well, he has a meltdown and rings me 27 times a day, and I, like, just get quite sort of stressy and angry and sweaty. But we've been given a license to have fun and be creative with this podcast. I think we both needed it, to be honest with you. And I'm really enjoying it. So thank you very much for downloading and getting involved.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's a challenge, isn't it, without any live games to preview, which obviously was the basis of the original Game Day podcast. But I think we've got some great guests. And as you say, we're always trying to think of new and interesting ways to entertain the listeners.
And I do think that today we've got some cracking interviews, including the one with Christian Burgess at the end of the programme and Michael Dawson, who's brilliant, and he's coming up very shortly. But it's not the only thing we've been collaborating on, is it?
You're talking about the home baking, aren't you?
We had a transatlantic baking class. It was brilliant.
I think it was a success. Your brother, top chef in America, kindly let us into his cookbook and was very patient, I have to say, as we asked him constant questions. But in the end, we all ended up baking lots of dough and bread. I made some nice bread rolls. I've got to say, though, I've just seen his shopping list for this week's class. We're making quiche and popcorn chicken and barbecue sauce. I don't know about booking an online delivery from Tesco's. I might have to buy the whole shop.
Oh, no, I see that as well. The ingredients last week were quite challenging already because he sent us out with a shopping list to go and buy things like flour and yeast. And at the moment, flour and yeast are very difficult to come by, aren't they? I mean, I had to go to at least three shops. It was one of those moments as well when I eventually got my hands on a packet of yeast where I stood in the middle of this small deli in the middle of Didsbury, right? I got down on my knees and I celebrated like I just scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final. I was like, yes, I've got yeast.
I'd like to have seen that. Luckily, I had my fairy godfather, didn't I? Our friend Higo, who just dropped the ingredients off on my doorstep. That was quite useful.
That's not like you to get a little bit of a leg up. Obviously, the other thing we've been collaborating on, the quiz on a Friday night on Talk Sports Twitter page. But I was nominated by Ray Houghton to down a pint in as quick a time as possible on some Instagram challenge thing. And I must say, I was pathetic at it. I can't do this. I mean, I think you did it in about 6 seconds when I offered you the opportunity to follow me. But I was pretty low grade at that.
I was going to say, have you finished your pint yet, or are you still making your way through it?
It took me 56 seconds to download a pint. download a pint.
They were painful seconds as well.
They were.
The anguish on your face throughout was just hilarious.
I know. I'm so bad at drinking beer like that. I can't do it. I'm awful. I'm awful. And if I'm completely honest with you, right, it was only a light beer. It wasn't even like a proper man's beer. It was a pathetic beer. Anyway, I got there in the end, and it really was, in the end, the relief on my face at the end when it finished, I was like, oh, thank God for that. You did it in one Instagram slide, I think. I did it in four. Not very impressive. Let's get to the top stories. Newcastle are close to having new owners, with official paperwork suggesting the new owners will involve the Saudi Crown Prince. If ratified by the Premier League, it will end 13 years of Mike Ashley ownership.
English football is planning to return to action on June the 6th. The proposals will see the conclusion of this football season being played out behind closed doors.
Tottenham and Bournemouth have reversed their decisions to use the government's furlough scheme for some non-playing staff during the coronavirus crisis, following criticism from supporters.
And journalists clearly went back to work in Spain this week. Real Madrid were linked in the last few days with Kylian Mbappe, Sadio Mane, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Jadon Sancho and Erling Braut Haaland.
I did think that was hilarious, the amount of stories after 2 days of journalists returning to work in Spain. The people linked with Real Madrid, they're obviously going to go on a splurge this summer. Well, whenever the transfer window does actually open up. Let's talk about Newcastle United, because it appears that finally there's some good news for Newcastle fans. And for once, it doesn't look like a forced dawn. This is a deal that I think has been rumbling on for months now, but it appears that Mike Ashley's added a bit of a sweetener this time around. I must say, congratulations to our good friend Mark Saggers, who was hot on this story about 6 or 7 months ago. And I think negotiations clearly have been rumbling on for quite some time. And now it looks as if Amanda Staveley is going to get her hands alongside the Saudi Investments Fund on Newcastle United. But Ashley's had to give a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's secured or acted as guarantee for a loan that they're actually going to use to buy the club. It seems a strange time, doesn't it? Right in the middle of a pandemic, when there's so much uncertainty up and down the country about possible lost television revenue, pay cuts for players and staff. It doesn't seem the ideal time to buy a Premier League football club. Or maybe it is.
The future of Steve Bruce will come under scrutiny as well, because one of the other things that Sags was pretty hot on right at the very beginning, and I'm talking October time, was that if this group do take over the football club, or if someone takes over the football club, with Amanda Staveley certainly having a hand in it, then they will want to try and bring back Rafa Benitez. I wonder if that is the next story that starts to emerge.
I think that would be harsh on Steve Bruce, although he's never really endeared himself to the Newcastle fans. Maybe that's because of his Sunderland connection. Maybe it's because of the dour football they've served up this season, the lowest scorers in the division. Oh. And I think if the new owners want to carry favour with the fan base straight away, then bringing back Rafa Benitez seems as good a way as any to do that.
Other news, it looks like football is ramping up the idea of returning in June. Jim White broke a story in the first few hours of his TalkSport show on Wednesday, in which he was saying that the Premier League source that he has sort of told him that in the best case scenario, the idea of starting in June and finishing the season at the end or middle of July, maybe playing three times a week, then having 4 to 5 weeks off, coming back in September for the start of the new season, is the best case scenario. They've also told him that the season has to finish because it is essentially a qualifier on so many different levels for so many aspects of the following season, at every level. So therefore, the idea of having a null and void season has never really been considered. I sort of tweeted about this earlier on and asked people what they thought about it. A lot of people gave a bit of a backlash about the idea of behind closed doors football. And I must admit that the idea of having and commentating, watching, experiencing football without any supporters doesn't feel particularly right. I think the main concern for me is that it's safe to do it, first of all, and that no one's going to be put in any danger. But if it is safe to do it and to go back behind closed doors, I think we have to sort of have that in our minds, because otherwise we could be waiting a very, very long time before we see football again. Interesting to see what people actually think about that. I did do a little a poll on my Twitter about it, and it was pretty split, I must admit.
Yeah, my last game before the lockdown was actually Manchester United's. My last commentary was Manchester United's game in Austria in the Europa League, when they were playing in a virtually empty stadium. It is a strange dynamic. You'd have done games behind closed doors as well. It's not ideal, either from a broadcaster's perspective or probably from a player's either, because I think it will lose a bit of intensity. You can hear every word the players are saying, much like you would at an open training session or a pre-season friendly. I wonder if any clubs have mooted the idea, when they do go behind closed doors, and I think that is a when and not an if now, of maybe playing fake crowd effects over the tannoy just to try and give it that feel of having a live crowd in there.
Like Tottenham did at their first couple of games at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium or something. Was that a story? I'm sure it was. You can't get away with that.
It might work though.
Oh, God, no. Well, maybe. I don't know. Try it. Let's try it. Well, let's try everything. Why not? We've got Michael Dawson on the way, but let's hear from the England and Manchester City striker, Ellen White. She was the joint top scorer at last season's Women's World Cup, and despite injuries, had a really positive start to life at Manchester City. This is what she's been up to during the lockdown.
It's been challenging, but I think it's important that everyone has to kind of stick to it. And, you know, if we ride this out, then hopefully, you know, football will return to us a bit quicker. But, yeah, for us, it's just about trying to find things that don't bore us. So that's challenging. But yeah, so I've done some Lego, which is exciting stuff. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm working on it. But yeah, I think it's just trying to keep occupied, to be honest.
What Lego have you done? Because I saw that John Barrowman's husband built a Bugatti the other day and a Millennium Falcon.
Oh, God, blimey. I'm not that. I'm actually a snail doing it, if I'm being honest. I've got friends Lego at the moment.
What, friends Lego? What's that?
You know, like Central Perk, you know, I've got that.
You're building the cafe?
I'm building it, yeah.
Oh, that's cracking.
It's actually really fun. I'm hoping to get like a stadium. I'm getting hopefully a West Ham stadium to build. Obviously a West Ham fan, so that'll be fun.
And we will have some similar stories to that on Commentary Confinement, which is coming up a little bit later on. Have you built Lego for your kids? I built a Harry Potter train and train station last Christmas for my little boy. I made it. It took hours, and I mean absolute hours. And at one stage, I did drop it, and I had to start the station again, and I was absolutely furious. I gave it to him on Christmas Day, an empty box. He went, "Where's the Lego?" I went, "I've already made it for you. Here it is. Here's one I made earlier." I did the whole sort of fanfare thing. And then I wouldn't let him play with it. I put it in a... honestly, and it's just so out of order. I then said to him, "Okay, well, we'll play with that one later." Put it in a cupboard. It's still in the cupboard. We've never taken it out again because I'm so precious about him breaking it.
I can understand that, because I did a similar thing with a Star Wars X-Wing a few years ago. Although my 8-year-old Jamie is really good. He was given the Apollo spaceship, which had 1,969 pieces for his birthday. And he put it all together on his own. It's still standing. So credit to him for that. But as you know, I'm not particularly good at piecing things together. I had to build a barbecue after the last podcast, and honestly, it nearly ended in divorce. It had about 80 screws, this stupid little barbecue it's supposed to be for the garden, and yeah, me and the missus nearly came to blows over that.
You could feel the heat emanating off of your voice. Anyway, let's get to Michael Dawson. Okay, this week we're checking in with the Nottingham Forest legend, the man who spent over 9 years at Tottenham Hotspur as well, England centre-back Michael Dawson is with us. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
Nice to speak to you. What have you been doing during lockdown? Are you one of these who's been building Lego? Have you been baby-feeding, homeschooling, smashing Disney Plus and Netflix to bits? What have you been doing?
I've been doing everything. I've been doing Lego. I've been painting some fences. I've been doing a bit of pointing. The wife's been homeschooling. I haven't been schooling. She's been doing that. So we've got a 5-year-old and a 6-month, so she's been in charge of the homeschooling. I've been getting my young daughter asleep in the morning, and then I've been going out for a run whenever I get a chance. So it's been absolute non-stop, but great times. Look, through this very strange and sad times, which is happening at this moment in time, you know, as a player's point of view, you're away, you're in hotels. You've got to make the most of certainly a sad and bad situation at the moment, and that is spending time with your loved ones, and the wife and kids, which, like I say, we're away a lot. You are getting them special times that You know, my little boy always wakes up and says, "Hey, are you tonight, Daddy? Or are you away footballing?" It's those times that you've got to treasure, because it's a sad time at this moment in time. But like I say, we're making the best of these hard times.
Michael, without wanting to draw attention to your age, I'm going to draw attention to your age. Is it more difficult for you because you're 36 and in the veteran stage of your career? Do you feel it more, do you think, than the younger players because you know probably you haven't got that much more football left in you?
I think it's harder to keep fit. I said probably we had a meeting with myself, Grabs and Watto and the manager and the senior staff last week, and look, when it became clear that we weren't going to be playing in the near future, they give us 2 weeks of downtown just to probably regroup and have a little break, because we'd been keeping fit for 3 weeks, and that physically and mentally being away from the lads was hard, not knowing when you're going to be back training. That for me was the hardest, because come the off season, when you have 6 weeks, I have 3 weeks I've do nothing, literally nothing, and then I'll have 3 weeks before I do go back for pre-season, of ticking over, knowing what I have to do to be in the shape to get through the 6 week grueling pre-season, where there was no goal, or there isn't a goal at this moment in time. I know that there's talk of we may be back in training in the middle of May, and probably we'll touch base with the fitness coach in maybe 2 weeks to start ticking over again and getting ready to get back to full fitness. So it is hard. But I'd also stress it's harder for the young lads on their own, or maybe just themselves and their girlfriends or wives. When you've got kids, you blink and the day's gone, because it's non-stop. So they're keeping you busy. But from a fitness point of view, certainly when you get over, that is certainly one of the harder sides of it.
Nottingham Forest, probably more than most teams, will be anxious for the season to be completed, because you're in a pretty handy position in the Championship. What do you put that down to this season? Is it just the impact of the manager, or does it go deeper than that?
I think, obviously, the manager coming in he's been incredible. I speak so highly of him, not just on a professional perspective, but certainly as a personal perspective. He's a great guy. He's probably as close as manager I've been to, albeit at the start of the season I had a great start, picked up a calf injury, and not really got back in the team, down to Joe Warren and Tobias being fantastic. So, but look, the manager is so open with all his players. We've got a squad of probably 20 plus to 26, and you can only pick 11 in the starting team and a squad of 18. So it's tough for him. But the lads, we've got a great group that train well together. But I think it comes from your manager. He's a leader. He's got a great staff. The way he conducts himself, win, lose, he tries to keep level pegging all the time, because we've had some unbelievable performances and we've put ourselves in a great position. And like you say, we want the season to carry on whenever it may be, because we've put ourselves in a great chance for promotion. But time will tell, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Matty Cash has been a major asset to you. I think you called him the new Cafu the other week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. We were doing a Zoom meeting, myself, Cashy, and it was Don Goodman and David Prutton. So we were speaking about the manager, and then it came up that, look, how well the manager has done so far this season, but what he's done with Matty Cash and changed him from a right winger to a right back, and he's certainly been the best right back in the league this season. He's been a breath of fresh air. He's energetic. He's up and down. And it always reminds me, I spoke about Danny Rose when Danny Rose was a left winger when they signed him at Spurs from Leeds, from a young lad, and you look at him, gone on to have an unbelievable career as a left back, England international, and you look at Cash, he's just got all the attributes to be a top right back. He's brilliant in the air, he can overlap, he's good on the ball. So for his first full season as a right back, to play there week in, week out, he's done incredible.
Inevitably, because of how he's been playing, there have been some tabloid speculation about his future. Do you think Forest need to go up and win promotion to the Premier League to keep him for the long term?
Well, look, it's Forest's dream. It's been 21 years since Nottingham Forest have been in the Premier League. And I remember standing or sitting in the Trent End, sitting in the A block, watching them in the Premier League. You know, so to have been that long since we've been in the Premier League, it's where we want to get to. But what I will say is the academy, it's always done it. Gareth Brazil is doing an unbelievable job. He's brought Cashy through, Joe Worrell, Ryan Yates, Tyler Walker. We've got Brennan Johnson, who played this year, Alex Mighton. We've got a young group of players. I've probably missed one or two there as well, because Forest just seem to keep producing. They've got a great academy. You know, so do we have to keep him? He signed a new contract. He's like any player. You always want to play at the highest level. There's no doubt in that. But he'll want to do that with Nottingham Forest because they give him the opportunity to go out and express his potential. And he's obviously thriving on that and taking it with both hands.
Does this lockdown period give you a chance to learn new skills, to think about what's going to come next for you after your football career comes to an end? I mean, I looked over your left shoulder there and I've seen a big map of Europe. I just wondered whether or not you're taking like a geography course or something.
The wife, when we knew we were coming into lockdown, she made a little classroom for my little boy. So she's done an incredible job. Look, I did some points in that I've never ever done in my life, Sam. So it's one of those. But I don't think I'll be going down that route because no one's parked on where I've pointed yet. So it could all start coming out with these cars on it and what have you. So, but little things like I say that you haven't done, and you get this opportunity in time, and like I say, you got to embrace it because everything that's going on outside, it's really really tough.
So did you point your drive? Is that what you did?
Well, yeah, I've got a little bit that it obviously needed pointing, so I...
You don't sound very sure about it, I've got to be honest.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't say it was the best job I've ever done, but I had some time on my hand. I thought, I always wanted to do it. I've tried it. Probably won't be doing it again.
We baked some bread at the weekend and we thought that was an achievement. I'm definitely not going to be pointing anything in the near future. I've seen some quotes from Paul Hart when I was preparing for our chat, saying that he sees you as a future manager. Is that a path that you think you may go down? And who, in terms of the managers you've played under, are your biggest influences?
Well, I think, look, you speak there about Paul. Paul was me, signed me as a 14-year-old. And then I left home at 16 and he gave me the opportunity to play in the first team at 18, which was, I look back and think, wow, that was young as a centre-half. Players developing a lot later. Maybe it was the time that I got the opportunity. He was so hard, but he's coaching me, expectations day in day out. And I still train like that. When I go on across the training pitch, I train like I play. You have to, and that's how I've always been from a young guy. Like, but then I think a lot from Harry Redknapp getting me, certainly my Spurs days, back to where I knew I could play, and I probably had my best years under him. You know, being in the World Cup squad 2010, getting in the Champions League, he was one, because I'd struggled under Juan de Ramos. It was a hard time under my confidence, and that's something that I came out the other side, and I would say to all young players, when you do go through a hard time, try and be mentally strong and come out the other side, because it does, it stands you in good stead, and it has done for the rest of my career from them times, because they were certainly hard times under Juan de, where as personally and as a team we were in real trouble. Harry was just a great man manager. He just got the best out of every player. It was quite remarkable where we were as a team and players when he walked through the door. But then he was incredible. So, and I think now in the latter stages of my career, working with Sabri, it's just it's where probably managers are going, where they're very open. You know, his door's always open. He chats to myself, grabs. Watch all the senior lads probably a lot more than I have done any other manager, you know. And society's changed with young players now, so you have to take that on board. Going back to, do I want to manage? Look, I still love playing. I love every minute. I do know I'm getting older. I do know it'll come to the end sooner rather than later. But I certainly hope I can play next year. And then I'm doing my A licence. I enjoy the media work. So who knows? There's hopefully there'll be plenty of doors open when I do come time with boots up. But this morning time, I'm loving getting out on the training pitch with the lads to keep me young.
Listen, lovely to speak to you. We'll let you get back to a dummy's guide to pointing, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Michael Dawson, top top guy. I really like him. Good luck to him and Nottingham Forest as they go forward in this season when it resumes. Now, you may have heard our commentary confinement with Ian Danter a few weeks ago on the Game Day podcast from TalkSport, in which he was talking about his new album that he was recording. But also, during that interview with us, he broke into an impression of TalkSport's Graham Courtney, he really did, and him talking to Steve Bruce, the Newcastle manager.
Safe to say he's better at impressions than Sam. Anyway, we set Dance the challenge of carrying off a full press conference all by himself. This week, he takes on the roles of the former England manager, Graham Taylor, and the special one himself. Let's cross to TalkSport's Jim White for more details.
Hello, I'm Jim White, and this is Manager Media Meltdown, where we remember those times when bosses lost it in front of the press at crucial times. Now, I like an England failure as much as the next Scotsman, but when Graham Taylor took the national side to Rotterdam in 93, knowing he had to get a draw against the Dutch to make the World Cup, the pressure was on. And pre-match, the writers weren't happy with his squad, which they felt echoed the one he picked for a disastrous loss in Norway. Graham couldn't take it from one particular guy in the press pack, Rob Shepherd from the Today newspaper. Barrett's already out, and the others, that's what I said. What's the problem? What's the problem with everybody? What's the matter with everybody? Particularly the English people, the Dutch people. Come on, rise yourselves, get on with it, look for your win. Oh, Rob, I can't continue giving this. Rob, I can't have, listen, Rob, I cannot have faces like yours round and about, eh? And I'll continue. No, I can't, Rob. I tell you this now, if you was one of my players with a face like that, I'd f***ing kick you out. You'd never have a chance. Get yourself up, man. Put a smile on your face. We're here for business. Come on, Rob. Come on. Let's have a little bit back now. That's it. Come on, Rob. That's it. Put a smile on. Be a bit more. Hey, f***ing hell's bells. Hey, the whole nation rests on whether Rob Shepherd is happy or not. Now, England went on to lose that match and failed to qualify, with Taylor losing his job not long after, so Rob Shepherd was right after all. Now, if there's one guy that seemed to get Jose Mourinho's backup all the time, it was the man he called a voyeur and a specialist in failure, Arsene Wenger. Sometimes Jose had all the subtlety of a sledgehammer about the Frenchman, like when he was asked about Steve McLaren being under pressure as the then Newcastle boss.
I think in this country, only one manager is not under pressure. Every other manager is under pressure. So Steve is under pressure. I am under pressure. Brendan is under pressure. Pellegrini is under pressure. Everybody is under pressure. We cannot lose matches. We cannot be below expectations. We have to reach our objectives. So I have sympathy for all of them, and I believe they all have sympathy to myself, because it's a difficult job. But there is one that for some reason is outside that list, but good for him. And of course I have sympathy for Steve.
Who's the guy not on the list?
You know.
No, I genuinely don't know.
Can speak about referees before the game. Can speak about referees after the game. Can push people in the technical area. Can cry in the morning. Can cry in the afternoon. Nothing happens. Can not achieve. Keep the job. Still the king. It's a privilege.
Do you know what? He is very good, isn't he? He is very, very good. I think his Jim White is sensational, and his Graham Taylor was pretty damn close to the mark. More of that next week, and Dance has a podcast as well where he does tons of characters like that. Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, which is out every Monday. And our producer, Lucy, has convinced him to try and do me, which is going to be interesting. I'm not sure I'm looking forward to it, I've got to be honest with you. I mean, to be honest, if he can manage to do me without the swear word, that'd be great. Because usually, away from the microphone, I've got a bit of an issue with that.
I can vouch for that. But I am looking forward to it, actually, to see exactly what road he goes down with that particular impression.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Portsmouth were due to be back at Wembley for the second successive season in the Leasing.com trophy final against Salford City. Instead, central defender Christian Burgess was out on Hailing Island, a nearby settlement to Portsmouth, delivering goods to the needy and the vulnerable on behalf of the Heart of Hailing Boxing Club, to which he has links, and he joins us now. Christian, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
It's a great gesture, this. How did you get involved? What was your motivation for getting involved with this?
I was aware of the work that the guys on the Hailing Island were doing. I've been involved with the Heart of Hailing Boxing Academy before. So I saw Mark and he'd let me know how they were coping over there. And I just thought I'd pop along and see things for myself, really, and go and try and do my bit, yeah.
And how was it received, Christian, by the people that you were delivering food and medicine supplies to? I take it they were all very happy to see you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, they're reliant and dependent on those prescriptions. It's a worrying time for people. One lady told me that she has an underlying health condition. She can't go out, but her husband's been driving past the pharmacist and it's been queuing around the corner and they're sort of scared to go in. So she was delighted when we delivered it to the door. And it's a really important service that those guys are providing.
You're someone who lives in the heart of the city. And it's my understanding you've been taking advantage of the government's daily exercise allowance by cycling along the seafront and maybe getting to know one or two landmarks better that you perhaps didn't before. Are you getting spotted by Pompey fans on a daily basis?
Yeah, I get the odd shout down the seafront when I'm running, sort of encouragement, other messages. That's nice. I'm getting out on my bike a little bit more, going up to the top of Portsdown Hill, and the view with the weather over the last couple of days is just phenomenal. So that's nice. But, you know, I've not been going out for going out's sake. It's been restricted to the exercise, either running or doing a proper cycle. So it's been enjoyable, but the effort itself has been tough at the same time.
How have your teammates been? Have you been keeping in touch with your teammates? Because Ronan Kurtz's mum was helping out with nutrition at one point.
So, yeah, well, obviously, you know, like every club up and down the country, we have our WhatsApp group. I actually saw Ronan's mum on one of my runs, which was quite funny, and sort of shouting out as I was running off. She sort of implored me to get Ronan out the more and do a bit more exercise. But
did she say, can I have my plate back or something? What was it?
She's a great character as well, by the way. So, we had a bit of banter and that was that.
Okay, listen, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much. And congratulations for helping out once again, as you did over the weekend. Congratulations on reaching Wembley again. And hopefully next time we talk to you, it'll all be about football because we'll be back playing.
I hope so. That would be a great, great respite from this. Yeah.
No football means not much work to do for our illustrious team of game day reporters who trek heartily up and down the country with a packed lunch in their bag and an apple on their chair every weekend in order to give the listeners of TalkSport the goals as they go in. But now they're finding themselves confined to the house. Let's check in with one of them and see how they are handling their commentary confinement. Nigel Adley usually commentates on our Premier League Saturdays and EFL matches. Hello, Nigel.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
We're good, thank you. Crook and I did a bakery class this week. We've mentioned how we made wonderful buns and focaccias. I hear you've picked up the flour and water as well.
Yes, when I could find them in the supermarket, I did, yes. Obviously, the situation we have at the moment, as we all know, we have a bit more time. So I started to revisit some of the recipes I made when my kids were very young. So I rustled up a courgette and pineapple loaf, which got derision from Adrian Durham. But some people in the office did used to enjoy it when I brought it in. And my wife was also given a massive bag of crystallized ginger by a health food shop for nothing because they just wanted to get rid of the stuff.
Is that like crystallized Adrian Durham?
Yeah, it is. Hang on. Just bear with me. Here we go. In the kitchen. There we are.
Oh, like you're showing me a bag of it as well. And it does look like you could eat it out of a bag, like sweets.
Oh, I do. It's very Moorish, very sweet. Not the sort of thing that's very good to eat.
A bit like Adrian Durham, very Moorish.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So I made a Dayton ginger cake as well, and it's actually gone down quite well. So, you know, you've got to rediscover some of your lost skills from home economics whatever. It was first year when I did it. It's probably year seven now, whatever it is. So.
Just a quick thing back on you said you made a courgette and something loaf. Is that right?
Courgette and pineapple loaf.
That sounds like something that Alex Crook would really like, I think.
Yeah, with a big side order, a bit of meat on the side as well. Yeah.
Well, you join in as well?
No, it was, it's something I used to make because we used to have an allotment in a previous life and we used to get loads of courgettes. And what do you do? Obviously, you saute them, you stick them in a vegetable dish. But I was told by a lady on another plot that if you got the courgettes and either sort of spiralized them or you grated them, they go really nicely in a loaf with a pineapple.
And of course, you can spiralize them and use them as like a pasta substitute as well, can't you?
I mean, it's
fantastic for that. I mean, Crook, what would you do with a courgette?
Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
I'd probably put it back on the shelf, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. Probably go look for the tin stuff.
Ian Dant is making an album. Could you make a cookbook, do you think?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's two recipes at the moment, but I have been sort of trying to make curry sauces from scratch as well, because obviously we've got a few more issues with getting stuff from supermarkets, as we all know. So rather than just buying a tin of something, trying to make curry sauces from scratch, which I think, you know, when you sit down and eat a meal and you've actually gone through the spice rack, and I've got a spice rack just out of the shop here, which some of them expired in 1999. I've used them so infrequently, but they're still fine. And I think just cooking from scratch, you know, if you've got a couple of hours in the kitchen, which we've tended to have at the moment, then why not? I think it's important to expand your repertoire because when the football does eventually return, we'll all be busy doing that.
On the subject of 1999, I understand, Nigel, you've also been voicing commentaries on old European games for UEFA. How does that work as a process? And in terms of preparation, how do you prepare for a game that you already know the outcome of?
Well, it's been great fun, to be honest, Alex, because one of the most recent games I did was Ajax against Bayern Munich semi-final from 1995. And you prep it as you would prep a normal game because you've got to do the 90 minutes. Obviously, you know what's going to happen and you can prepare when the goals have been scored and you know how the goals have been scored. But you're still prepping players. I mean, like in that game, there was an 18-year-old Clarence Seedorf, a 19-year-old Patrick Kluivert, some great players right at the start of their career. Louis van Gaal was about 43. One of the coaches and on the German side, Mehmet Scholl, who was a fine German player at the time, Helmer as well. But when you're prepping it, you're only prepping it up to that time. And you can't be too clever and say, well, you know, so-and-so's done this now and destined to have a glittering career in the game. And I also did Werder Bremen Valencia from 2010. In that game, a young Juan Mata, a young David Villa, a young David Silva. Jordi Alba, I think, was a teenager. And on the Werder Bremen side, there was a young Per Mertesacker, who looked old even then. And Mesut Ozil, who I think was barely out of his teens and was absolutely brilliant. When you're prepping these games, you're prepping them as young players. And it's been great fun to do, not just because it's football, but because it's an examination of how football used to be. And the way football was covered in 1995 for the Ajax game, even though it was a massive game, Champions League semi-final, it wasn't in HD, which we take for granted now when we're looking at football either as a commentator on the television or as a viewer. Not many cameras, and it was fairly sort of scarce, you know, that the coverage started 5 minutes before the game and they came off 5 minutes after the game. And it is very different to the sort of 24-hour coverage we have now. And that sort of game would have a two-hour build-up now on some channels. But, you know, looking at the coverage that we commentated on at the time, they came on 5 minutes before.
Nigel, thank you very much for coming on and giving us an insight into your commentary confinement, and hopefully we'll hear you back behind the mic very shortly. In the meantime, if you do have any leftover courgette loaf, please send it down to Crook. I'm sure he would devour it.
The next game on the South Coast, there'll be a little package when he arrives in the press room.
Look forward to it.
Cheers, guys.
Brilliant piece in the Times this week suggesting that it will be 18 months now until we see full sporting stadiums again. An epidemiologist by the name of Dr. Zach Binney has spoken to Matt Lawton, who's written a couple of big articles on this and actually was on TalkSport earlier in the week explaining that he thought the idea of going back even behind closed doors was a little bit premature right now. Scientist has said, you know, we won't see crowds returning until a vaccine is available, which could be up to 18 months. And he says, the quote is, "As a scientist, I hate to say I'm ever 100% sure about anything, but I am close to 100% as I've ever been." So that's going to be a very long time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've read the quotes, actually. He says it's pretty obvious. If you've got 5 people in a stadium, then that's less dangerous than having 10. If you've got 1,000 people in the stadium, that's more risky than if you've got 100, and so on and so forth. So I guess it makes sense. But this is a big worry, particularly for those lower league sides. I'm thinking teams in League 1 and League 2 who rely almost solely on ticket sales, and particularly in League One, the visits of clubs like Sunderland and Portsmouth to really boost their coffers, because obviously the TV revenue in those divisions isn't as vast as it is in the Premier League and even the Championship. So again, I think a lot of clubs now, if that is the case, and I really hope it isn't, they're going to have to look at their business models.
Okay, so I put a tweet out about this saying, really fascinated by some of the discussions on behind closed doors football, so I'd like to get a better, if not entirely scientific, picture by putting out a poll. Saying, bearing in mind a leading professor in epidemiology has said today he can't see a full sports stadium for 18 months, would you halt all sport until then, return behind closed doors and up TV coverage, or cancel the season and assess in September? Where would your vote be?
I voted already, actually. I did go for the middle one, to return behind closed doors and up the television coverage. And there was an interesting proposal put forward by Oriel Romeu, the Southampton midfielder, this week, which got shot down in no uncertain terms by Perry Groves on TalkSport, to install television cameras in the dressing room. His thinking was that it would make those fans who can't attend in person feel closer to the action, but Perry definitely didn't agree with that.
Interesting responses to that tweet, by the way. Zoe King says, cancel this season and concentrate on trying to start next season on time. What's happened this season is hopefully a one-off and won't ever happen again. The total vote at the moment, and we've had about 1,200 votes on this, 55% saying return behind closed doors and up TV coverage, 38% cancel season and assessed in September. Jeff Stelling actually has got in touch about this subject, and he says, you know, this is just one epidemiologist in Atlanta, and they must have scoured the globe to dredge up another negative scare story. He does not know, nor do we, so let's stop guessing, which I suppose is fair enough.
Well said, Jeff.
Okay, well, Scottish clubs have voted to end the Scottish Professional Football League season outside the top flight with immediate effect. It comes after Dundee reversed an earlier intention to reject the proposals, thus achieving the numbers required for the motion to pass. Dundee had initially submitted what was an electronic no vote, but it did not reach the SPFL, and the club only realised when the league announced the results on Friday. In a statement, the SPFL have said the SPFL has announced that the directors' written resolution ending the 2019 2019-20 season in the Ladbrokes Championship, League 1 and 2, has been passed with an agreement of 81% of all members. Now, what does that mean? I suppose, I mean, the first thing is that Dundee United, Raith Rovers and Cove Rangers have all been declared champions of the respective divisions. What about relegation and stuff like that? Has that been sorted as well?
Well, my understanding is that Partick Thistle and Stranraer have now been relegated. All playoffs have been cancelled, though, meaning that the pyramid playoff, which involves the Highland League and Lowland League champions, has been scrapped. Of course, the Scottish Premier League season has not yet been null and voided, but the whole system has been a bit of a shambolic, to be honest. I heard Ali McCoist on Sports Breakfast earlier this week, and he was really agitated and infuriated, first of all, that the SPFL released the results of the vote before all votes had been counted and verified, and secondly, that originally they came out and said Dundee hadn't submitted a vote and then had to backtrack on that and say actually they have. I think Ali also felt maybe there's been a bit of bullying on behalf of some of the bigger clubs, to use his words, forcing the smaller clubs to reluctantly accept this proposal to ensure that they were going to get whatever final finishing money was due to them. So it's, SPFL haven't come out great in this.
I'd be a little bit upset if I was Partick Thistle, having played 27 games, one less than Queen of the South and Alloa, and yet having only 2 points less than Queen of the South. I'd be a little bit frustrated about that if I was them, because you never know what's going to happen the last few weeks of the season. I mean, at least with Stranraer, they were so far behind, there wasn't much chance of them catching up, so you can understand why they've been relegated. But listen, as we've said 100 times before, this is not going to be a perfect scenario and someone is going to lose out. Partick Thistle look like they are the ones on this occasion. I think the biggest issue is that the Scottish Premiership may still not go that way, because UEFA, of course, have said, we don't want you to do this to any of the top leagues in Europe. They've already cocked an eyebrow at Belgium. They're furious about Belgium stopping their season. So the idea that Scotland would then stick their two fingers up at UEFA's directive would be slightly odd, I think, in going forward, because that may well cause them more problems down the line. We're in for a strange set of fallouts from this. And I mentioned Partick Thistle, but I'm sure there'll be others that start kicking up a bit of a fuss about it. I mean, Dundee, they said they wanted to get something out of it, didn't they? I think the restructuring or something of Scottish football, which was one of the reasons why they delayed their vote, which would trouble me a little bit.
Yeah, and it's only the 15th of April. We're all making predictions and premonitions about when football may be able to resume. The simple fact of the matter is we don't know. I don't really understand. I said this when non-league took their decision, why we are having to make this definitive decision on the 15th of April. Let's see how the next few weeks unfold, surely.
Totally agree. Have you watched anything fun on Netflix or Amazon Prime or on Disney Plus or something this week? I need something uplifting. I need something to keep me going. I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is like a really stupid cop show. It's hilarious. It's like just total comedy. It's about 25 minutes an episode and it's brilliant. It's just total nonsense. It's just silliness gone mad.
Yeah, I've gone a bit old school, actually. I've tweeted in the past that my normal routine was watching the 10 o'clock news and finding out what happened that particular day and getting depressed largely and then cheering myself up by watching a classic episode of Only Fools and Horses. I'm still watching a lot of that. I watched a Royal Family episode the other night, which, again, I've not seen for years. It was, yeah, it was one where they were in a caravan and, you know, driving to a campsite, because usually you just see them in their own environment, in the front room, watching TV. It was very funny, actually. So
you and Jim Royal separated at birth?
Actually, someone said to me, because obviously you don 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 a bow tie when you do your Friday night quiz. Someone told me you look like a bad in-betweener. So if we're doing comedy comparisons, you can have that one.
Yeah, that's probably about right, though, really, for me, isn't it, eh? Oh, dear. I did manage to catch up with Palace defender Patrick Van Aanholt last week, who spoke to me on the Saturday sessions on TalkSport. And he did have some good recommendations for Netflix.
Have you seen Money Heist?
Do you know what? I haven't. I was going to start that last night. Is it good?
Oh, my days. You have to watch it. It's 3 seasons, you know, 4 seasons.
Okay, that's going to keep me occupied for at least 2 days.
No, I've watched 1 season in 1 day, in half a day.
Okay.
Like that. All so right. if you watch the first one, I guarantee you finished season 1 and 2 in 1 day.
Okay, I'm going to rattle through it. He was good, actually. Very, very good indeed. I enjoyed speaking to him, Patrick Van Aanholt of Crystal Palace. Right, enjoyed speaking to you as well, Alex Crook. Thank you very much for your contribution today. And to Nigel Adderley as well, to Ian Danter for his wonderful press conference, to Christian Burgess, and of course to Michael Dawson, who came on the programme, and Ellen White as well. We'll be back same time next week. Keep safe, keep your distance, stay home, protect the NHS and save lives.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.